At times during lockdown, we can feel a bit like this balloon I've got in front of me, deflated, no life, no energy in us. What we need is to be filled. Now, the word for the Holy Spirit in the New Testament is the word pneuma, which means not only spirit, it also means breath, wind. It brings life, but it's unpredictable. That's why in the second chapter of Acts, the bystanders on the day of Pentecost are described as amazed and perplexed when the Holy Spirit comes. They ask one another, "What does this mean?" Well, to make sense of the Spirit, I want to turn to the letter of 1 Corinthians that we've been looking at for the last few weeks, Paul's letter to the Greek town of Corinth. This is the last in a series looking at this letter, and I'm going to range right across it. So you'll find it very helpful to have with you a Bible, and you, if you can, a pen and paper too, to jot down any thoughts. And I want to suggest that the Holy Spirit does three crucial things. First, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. Secondly, he renews us from the inside out. Third, he gives us God's good gifts, which are for the world. First, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. If you can turn with me to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and find verse 3, it says, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." We know who God is. We cry out to Jesus as Lord by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not draw attention to himself, but points us to Jesus and God the Father. When you go into a building with a posh lighting system, you'll see the building lit up beautifully, but you won't see the lighting itself. For good lighting systems illuminate the thing you want to see, but the lighting system itself is hidden. And that's the same with the Holy Spirit. We don't see the Holy Spirit so much as see what it points us towards, Jesus as Lord. Paul, in that quotation from chapter 12, is talking with the Corinthians about the gifts of the Spirit. And the first thing he underlines is that the Spirit is seeking to point people to Jesus. In that reading from the book of Acts, we saw the first church forming in Jerusalem and the Spirit coming like a rushing wind. It inspires the disciples to speak of Jesus, and it inspired the people around them to put their trust in Jesus as Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. One sign of whether we know the Spirit in this church and in our lives is whether we are naming Jesus as Lord and whether we are pointing people towards Jesus as their Lord too. So, first, the Holy Spirit draws people to Jesus. Second, it renews us from the inside out. And if you flip back through 1 Corinthians to chapter 3, the chapter we looked at last week, you'll see how Paul, in verses 16 and 17, is reminding the Corinthian church that though they got into many scrapes, they were still deeply valuable in the sight of God. Verse 16 and 17, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells among you?" There were temples all over the ancient world, and cities like Corinth were chock full of them. They were often huge structures, massive pillars, gloriously decorated, set on the most prominent places of the city. Corinth, to which this letter was written, had a massive temple on to the goddess Aphrodite. And Paul is saying to this ragbag community of social misfits in Corinth, don't worry about those massive stone buildings. There is only one temple in Corinth, and you are it. Now, this statement at the time might have seemed delusional, but for Paul's belief that the Holy Spirit filled that flimsy human temple that was the Corinthian church. I wonder how you are feeling at the moment. Lockdown has stopped us doing many things, and I have to say, I think there is a strangely seductive quality to it in some ways. We can get used to staying in, to curtailing much of what we once did, almost to living life in second gear. If that's where we are, then we'll find the New Testament's words about the Holy Spirit a shock. The Spirit is likened to a mighty wind, a fire, a disruptive force, an energizing force. And one of the striking things about the way the Holy Spirit energizes people in 1 Corinthians is it's a means by which a community can be unified and knit together. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by the one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. These words from chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians show how the Holy Spirit renews us as individuals, but also renew us and unify us as a community. You and I, and the faith communities of which we're part, need to know the Holy Spirit renewing us from the inside out. At the end of this sermon, I'm going to use a prayer which can help us be more open to the Holy Spirit working in us. And that really matters. Knowing Jesus from our hearts will make us different. And it will make us feel different. I'm not saying that it will make us all just feel happy all the time. But believing in Jesus is not just like, say, believing that water boils at 100 degrees centigrade, like a piece of information. Believing in Jesus should warm our hearts. It should make the blood flow faster in our veins. If you or I are low on energy and drive at the moment, it may well be that we are not fully accessing the Holy Spirit, whom Paul says is meant to dwell inside us. As we watch worship online, I wonder, are we watching it merely as a kind of TV, as a sort of Netflix for the soul? Well, the Holy Spirit is not here just to entertain us. He wants to change us. So first, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. Second, he renews us from the inside out. And thirdly, he gives us God's good gifts for the world. A question, when is the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Think about it. Well, the answer is right at the start in Genesis 1. At the very beginning of the Bible, we hear of the Spirit of God hovering over the waters. I'm reminded then of a misprint which said that the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters. I digress. We need to remember when we hear of the Spirit, when we talk of the Spirit, that the Spirit is supremely the Creator Spirit, just as it was at the very start of creation. The Spirit brings into being things that are not already here. And that makes sense when we turn to chapters 12, 13 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, which are all about the Spirit creating new gifts, which the Spirit then gives to the church. Verse 1 of chapter 12, Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There's a great deal we could say about these chapters from 1 Corinthians, but I want to make just the simple point that the Spirit is the gift giver, and these gifts are meant to bless our world. We could spend time looking at the individual gifts of the Spirit that are listed, and that would be good. But we should also note that the list of gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is different to the list of gifts in the letters to the Romans or Ephesians. I don't think we're therefore meant to downplay those lists, but that is a reminder that the Spirit gives gifts in surprising, bountiful ways. I was walking down my street, the Crescent, the other day and realised that a tree had dropped loads of seeds and blossom and was carpeting the pavement. There is a superabundance to the spring at the moment, and the Spirit, who was there at the very creation of the world, wants to recreate us. And in so doing, he will give us gifts. So as we look forwards as a church, what gifts do we need to ask the Spirit to give us? Rather than thinking we can't do this or that, we might consider how we might be able to do it with the empowering Spirit within us. And rather than thinking we have what we need to recognise our insufficiency and seek God's equipping of us. In recent months, I have been massively blessed by members of this church family who have the gift of understanding technology, together with the gift of patience with numpties like myself. God's Spirit gives us gifts to bless others. And so it's important to note how in the middle of Paul's discussion of spiritual gifts in chapter 13, there is his long poem about the greatest gift of all, which is love for others. We are given spiritual gifts to bless other people, those with whom we share our homes, those with whom we share this town, and to bless the earth which God has given to us. Sometimes we talk about prayer ministry in church. If that phrase is new to you, it means simply praying for God to work in us. And we rightly think of this at times when somebody is sick or in some kind of trouble. But it is more than that. The Spirit is an equipping spirit, and we need prayer to do our daily work, to make our homes places of love and nurture, to build a better society. Arguably, the primary point of prayer ministry is to release us for service. Where do you need prayer to strengthen you in God's service? The Spirit is a rushing wind. He's not static. And St. Barnabas has known times of renewal and refreshing in the past. These times are to be cherished. And we also need to know these times of renewal and refreshing again, because the Creator Spirit wants us to bless our world again. A few miles from here, up on the high limestone hills of the Yorkshire Dales, the rock is porous. Water won't lie on the surface as it does in the Lake District. So you have rivers which flow along the surface for a time and then will suddenly disappear down a crevice, only to reappear a few miles downstream. The Holy Spirit, God's creative force, is a bit like that. It's continually at work, but sometimes he bubbles away unseen below the surface and sometimes then breaks the surface afresh. But he is always at work. So, first, the Holy Spirit draws us to Jesus. Second, he renews us from the inside out. And third, he gives us God's good gifts for blessing the world. I want to finish now with a prayer, but it's a bit different to usual prayers. In the first century of the church, there are pictures of Christians praying. And what's striking is they have their hands outstretched, open to God. And that's got something to teach us about prayer. And I invite you to put your hands out, open, empty before you, outstretched to God, like this. Having our hands like this can be a way of saying to God that we come before him, not clutching, not anxious, not grasping, but ready to receive. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us afresh, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, draw us to Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us from the inside out and fill us with your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, equip us with the gifts, most of all your gift of love, that we may bless every person we meet. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.